Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Krisis Daf Hey, Krisis 5b, pagination is 10. We'll start on the 7th. Our topic is the Shemen HaMishcha that was mentioned in the Mishnah at the start of the Masechta, that a person who tries to make this anointing oil, like Moshe did, follows the protocol, does the procedure, that is forbidden to do. And it's a chayve krisus, it's one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us that there were many miracles that occurred with the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe made. And our Amud becomes really a launching pad for the proper use of Shemen HaMishcha, even though the origin of our discussion was someone who's imitating it and doing a prohibition. So the Gemara tells us on the 7th line, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, yeh zeh li lidoroseichem, zeh, this is Bigmatria Yud Beis, it's 12, and Moshe made 12 lugin, 12 portions of this Shemen HaMishcha. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned. Vayikach Moshe Shemen HaMishcha. Moshe took the Shemen HaMishcha as he was instructed. Vayimshach Hasam Mishkan. And he anointed the Mishkan and granted it the sanctity. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shemen HaMishcha Shasa Moshe Bamidbar Harba Nisim Nasubo. There were many miracles that occurred. Among them is Mitichilasa Ve'ad Sofo, from the beginning until the end, it never diminished. It was always Yud Beis Lugin, 12 Lug. Now, the Gemara tells us the rule. Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol ta'un Meshicha. A Kohen Gadol, even if he's the son of the Kohen Gadol, is going to require anointing. He's going to require some level of designation in order to become the Kohen Gadol. I mentioned some level of designation because, as we will see, the Shemen HaMishcha, this anointing oil, did not exist in the second Beis HaMikdash. It didn't even exist at the very end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if they wanted to anoint, just like a token anointing to make a point, they would use Shemen Afar Simon, a different type of oil. It wasn't the real Shemen HaMishcha and didn't have those binding qualities that the thing was now sanctified. It was more of a token, a statement. We're doing an anointing, we're doing a ritual, but it's not the real thing. If they wanted to truly make someone a Kohen Gadol and didn't have the Shemen HaMishcha, so the method was Merubah Begadim, that he would wear the garments of the Kohen Gadol, the 8 garments, and that would cause him to be appointed, to be designated with the sanctity of the Kohen Gadol. So again, Kohen Gadol, even if he's the son of a Kohen Gadol, needs Meshicha, or as we mentioned, Ribuy Begadim. Ve'ein Moshchin Melech Ben Melech. But the king, the son of a king, does not require anointing. We're talking about Malchei Beis David, kings of the Davidic dynasty, or as Rashi points out, before the Davidic dynasty started, there was also Meshicha of Shaul. But once the Davidic dynasty started, it's only that family that would get Meshicha, and a king, the son of a king, does not require Meshicha. If there's a discussion, an argument that had to be settled, then there would be cases where they would use the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint, for example, by Shlomo. But in general, the working assumption is that it does not require Meshicha, it goes generation to generation. As the Gemara elaborates, v'im tomar, and if you'll wonder, Why did they anoint Shlomo? He's the son of David. David was anointed, and it's the Davidic dynasty, and he's a son. Because Adoniah was creating an argument that he should be the king, and therefore they had to anoint Shlomo. Ve'es Yehoash. And why did they anoint Yehoash? Mepnei Ataliah. Because Ataliah was making trouble. Ve'es Yehoachaz. Mepnei Yehoyakim Achiv Shayagodol Me'achiv Shtei Shanim. And in the case of Yehoachaz, so even though it was still the family descendant, but because there was another child that was being skipped over, so they anointed. Amar Mar, we learnt, Va'afilu Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol ta'on Meshicha. A Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol, does need anointing. Minolan, how do you know? Dichsiv, Ha'Kohen HaMashiach tachtam mi'bonav. The word HaMashiach, regarding children, teaches you that even of his children, there will be Meshicha. Amar Mar, Moshkin Melech ben Melech. We don't anoint the king, son of a king. Minolon, he gets his royalty right away. Amar Avacha bar Yaakov, Dechsiv, Leman Yarech Yamim al Mamlachto. The Pasuk says that the king shall have length of days in his kingdom. Hu Uvanov, it was already granted to him and his sons. Yerushahi, it's an inheritance. And therefore, it's only in the case of Machlokes that the Shemen HaMishcha would be used. Amar Rav Papa explained, Amar Kroh, it's based on a Pasuk. Bekerev Yisrael, the inheritance works in the midst of the Jewish people. Bezman Sheshalom B'Yisrael, when things are in the midst, when things are stable, that's when it works. Otherwise, if things are up, then you would use the Shemen HaMishcha to declare him king. Now, the Gemara cites examples where people not from the Davidic dynasty were being anointed. And the Gemara explains, Be'afar Sema. It wasn't the Shemen HaMishcha, it was other oil which was used to make the point. The Gemara towards the bottom of the Amud mentions that even at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Shemen HaMishcha was already hidden away. And once again, if you encounter an anointing after that point, it was the Afarsima Dachya with this other Shemen Afarsimon. One more thing that I want to mention on today's daf, five lines up from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan, we learned, in Moshchim es Hamalachim, when you anoint kings, you do it al Hamayon, by the spring, literal translation, but by flowing water. And that concept is one of the reasons that's given regarding Tashlich, and that it should preferably be done by flowing water, because on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Tashlich, we are declaring Hashem as king, and the flowing water symbolizes Shati Moshech Malchuson. We're recognizing an ongoing monarchy. So in the case of a human king that's being coronated, so we're doing that as a matter of blessing. In the case of Hashem, Hashem is the king forever. That's not the issue, but we're recognizing it as such, and that's the symbolism of flowing water. In practical halacha, indeed, Tashlich can be said by any body of water, and we're actually, if you delve into the topic, fairly lenient as to the symbolism and what's required in order to be able to do Tashlich. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.